Again, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone here today. And I guess I already kind of gave it away, but we're going to be talking about John 3:16. And, you know, as I began the week and began to prepare, I started looking at the calendar and I realized Easter's not that far off. And I know it doesn't seem possible, but I thought, all right, what should we look at? How do we prepare ourselves for Easter? And as we have these few weeks leading up to, I thought, let's really be focusing on the gospel. Let's focus on God sending his son, because on Easter we see the culmination of everything of Jesus' life, that he died for our atonement to redeem us our sin. And so one of the most familiar verses in Scripture, it's one that most of us learn as a child. Most of us learn to recite it, and we've already evidenced from our youth. Some already knew it, and it's hidden in their heart, and that's an amazing thing. And certainly most of us here could recite it. Can I go ahead and get it up there, would you please? Because I want us to read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Thank you. Amen. Well, listen, there's got to be a reason why this verse is so widely known, why it is so loved and memorized, why it is so often used in our teaching, and it is because it is a tremendous summary of the good news of the gospel. And as I was preparing, I was reading some of John Piper's material, and he spoke on this verse, and he actually divided it into four parts to provide a basis for teaching. And so he called his four parts the four D's. And so I'm going to borrow from Brother John, and we're going to take his ideas and kind of build on it. And over the next 4 weeks, counting today, we're going to talk about these four D's. And so the first D that we see in this verse is danger. Is danger that anyone who is without Christ is what? They are perishing. All human beings, all men are created, are in danger of perishing, which is not just dying, but it is the opposite of eternal life. It is eternal death or eternal perishing. So there is danger that we're made aware of. And that's what we'll focus on today. But let me go ahead and give you the other three and where we'll be at the next few weeks. The second D is design. And this verse talks about God's design and the way he's designed, and his design to save us from perishing is his design of love. For God so loved the world. And so that is God's design. And certainly we recently spoke on God's love for us, but it is because of his great love for his creation that caused him to send his son, caused him to send his son to be incarnated, to come and live as man, and to die for us on our behalf in our place to keep us from perishing. And then the third D, this verse talks about our duty. Third D is duty. Our duty is that we must fulfill our part. And our part is that we have faith. God loves us. He saves us from our sin through Christ. He saves us from perishing. But our duty is to be faithful, to trust in him, to believe in the Son of God, the one that God has sent for us. Scripture says that whoever believes in him should not perish. And then there's the fourth D, which is destiny. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. For all who believe, we will not perish, but rather we will have eternal life. That is the promise and hope of heaven. Now, understand. We don't want to take this verse. We're not building a whole theology just on this one verse. It does a great job of summarizing the gospel, but it's not all-inclusive. We recognize that. It doesn't mention regeneration. It doesn't mention justification or sanctification. I'll explain all these big church words later today. But it doesn't mention all those. It doesn't speak directly to the atoning death of Christ. But what is here is so basic and is so powerful, and we'd be hard-pressed to find any other verses that could summarize the gospel like this does. And so again, if you're taking notes, there's danger, the danger of perishing. God's design is one of love. Our duty in this is our faith, to be faithful. And then ultimately our destiny is the eternal life that has been promised to us. So here's the plan. We're going to spend the next 4 weeks covering this, a week for each one of these topics. And listen, through this, again, Easter's an amazing time of year, and it's more than baskets and bunnies and candy and all that. It's an amazing time that we reflect on what God did for us, what Christ did for us on the cross. Now, we should reflect on daily, but obviously, we set aside that time. But listen, we need to build up to that. And I would pray that we come these next few weeks with great anticipation that God, through this teaching, rekindles our passion for the gospel. That as we go through this study, we truly understand the magnitude of the gospel message and what it has for us. And certainly we pray that if there's anyone here that does not have a true relationship with Christ, through the proclamation of the gospel, that their lives will be impacted and changed and moved to accept God's gift of grace. So again, we're going to look at the simple gospel message. Because God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in Him should not perish. So what's the flip side? If you don't believe in Him, there is perishing. That is the danger, and that's what we're going to address this morning. It's a simple truth. You and I, anyone who is apart from Christ, who does not trust Christ as Lord and Savior, we are apart from Christ, we are perishing. So, let's answer some just basic questions this morning. Let's talk about perishing. What is perishing? And so, the Bible is very clear in the teaching about what happens to unbelievers when they die. And the first thing I want to see is perishing means that we're under the wrath of God. So we've shared John 3:16, but if you look just a couple of verses later in verse 18, it says this: whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. Is condemned already. So the issue is not just dying, but about being judged by God. Because when we go to the end of chapter 3 and verse 36, it says this: whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. What this shows us, that if we are rescued from perishing, is because of the love of God, and it's His love that is rescued from the wrath of God. But to perish means that we remain under the wrath of God because we will not and have not trusted in Christ. And listen, that's a terrifying place to be, under God's wrath. Sometime back, it's probably been about 3 years ago, we did a whole series on hell. And I think we spent about 4 weeks going over it. But listen, hell is real. And when we think about perishing means a fiery torment. We know John authored other books, but we know John wrote the last book in the Bible. He wrote the book of Revelation. And in that, he writes about a person who's perishing. Listen to these words in Revelation 14:10.
said, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. Here's the deal. When someone dies, it's not the end. Some would argue that perishing just is the end of one's existence. You know, you die and that's just it. And had some discussions this week, some questions brought up. I'll be quite frank, you know, I was asked about suicide. You know, what brings somebody to that state? Because if you don't have any faith and hope in Christ, if you just have no hope in this life, if you have a belief that there's, if you think in this terms that there's a finality, it's like you turn the switch and then everything goes away. But that's not the way it works. There is no finality in one's existence. We will continue to exist after the death in this life, and you will either spend eternity in the presence of the Lord, or there will be eternal suffering in hell. I get it. People don't want to talk about hell. If we, again, do another study and look at what Scripture says about it, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. It's continual agony. There is no respite from it. There's not one second of peace. It is eternal agony. Okay? People in hell suffer for all eternity. But what have we done? Like everything else, we dumb it down. We make light of it. We make stand-ups. Listen, one time I was listening to Ted Turner speak. And in this conversation, he started talking about hell. And he basically had this attitude of whatever. Okay. Yeah, I don't believe all that. So I go to hell. Well, guess what? I will be there with all my friends. We'll have a great time, whatever. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's another so-called celebrity who joked about it. He didn't want to go to heaven because he couldn't do anything to improve it. He didn't want to be a part of any place that's too perfect. He preferred hell because he said, I can make a contribution there. These are ridiculous ideologies. These are ridiculous thoughts. And where does this come from? It comes from the world. It comes straight from the pit of hell. I mean, let's be blunt about it. There's a show on now on TV. I can't even remember what it's called. But isn't it Ted Danson? Portrays like he's like the devil or something. Somebody's nodding. Help me out. And they talk about the good place and the bad place. It could be more flippant about it, and everything's a big joke. People, hell is real. It is eternal torment. It is damnation. It is punishment. It's a place no one should go. It should not be made light of. It should not be joked about. And if we're going to be so serious about heaven, we need to be absolutely serious about that, because everyone here in this room knows someone right now is headed for hell. Just be honest with ourselves. We know people that if they died right now, they would be in hell. And they will be in torment for eternity. This is serious. I can't stress any more than that. And listen, it's God's word. It couldn't be more plain about it. So there's eternal torment. One other picture. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? You know, Lazarus had not lived very prosperous, a good life, you know, as far as having things. He had difficulties. And the rich man who had everything was in hell. And he asked that, you know, just if Lazarus could dip his finger in water, just touch my thigh. He was any kind of relief, because there's none. And then when he realized there's no hope, you know, please send him to tell my family so that they don't end up here. But let me tell you something, Ted Turner, you're wrong. Because you may be there with your friends, but you ain't going to have any time together. It means separation. It means separation from everything in hell. And ultimately, perishing means separation from the glory of God. Eternally separated from God. Paul describes this in the 2 Thessalonians 1:9. It says, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His mind. Is eternal separation from God. So as we see here, the perishing, they're going to pay. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be away from the presence of the Lord, away from His power. And understand, here in this world, God reveals Himself every day for all to see. Right? The rain falls on the righteous as well as the unrighteous. We all see the glory of God. Matter of fact, if you've been with us in our Romans study, we've recently discussed God's revelation in Romans 1:19 and 20. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. And God's created all this. He's created this amazing world, and it's enjoyed by believers and unbelievers alike. Let me tell you something. In hell, those who are perishing is cut off from all of His work. Cut off from everything of God. The only thing they're not cut off from is His wrath, and they will feel the full brunt of it. For the perishing, it's the opposite of eternal life. And Jesus speaks to this in Matthew 25:46. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Man, I get so tired of our world and our society trying to make everything have gray areas. But let me tell you something, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to these things, it is black and white. You don't sit the fence. As I've said in many funerals I've done, there's only one decision we make in this life that means anything. There's one decision that any of us will make that means anything, and that's what you do with Christ. You either accept or deny. There's no fence sitting. You don't get to put it off. You don't get to delay. You don't get to ignore. You have to do something. You either accept or you deny. And in much the same way, this mic might not be on. Okay, I'll stay right here. A little fired up this morning. We're going to get a little hellfire and damnation. It's black and white. Eternal elation, celebration, joy. There are not enough words to describe heaven. That's one option. The other option is eternal damnation, eternal judgment. It's certain. It's black and white. Perishing means God's wrath. God's wrath means eternal torment. It means eternal separation for God, and it lasts forever. Forever. And somehow, as children of God, we can get away from that. Their church is teaching a different theology. That somehow they've distorted Scripture and somehow want to relate the gospel message, the God's wrath, they want to relate it to our penal system. Right? If I drive X amount of miles over speed limit, I pay this much fine. If I commit this crime, I will serve this much time. So they've got this theology that, you know, if you're a pretty good person, but you sinned and made some mistakes and all, well, God's going to judge you accordingly. So you may go off to someplace that ain't real good, but ultimately everybody is going to be with God. This is being preached from pulpits, people. I'm not making this up. This is creeping in because, I don't know why. Quite honestly, I don't know why. God's word can't be any plainer. Hell is forever. Scripture is clear. Hell is real. It awaits everyone who denies Christ in this life. And there's only one way to avoid eternal punishment. There's only one way to get to heaven. It's through Christ. John 14:6 is another one of these verses I'm sure everybody knows. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There it is, black and white, done. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. No one will enter the gates of heaven apart from Christ. Going to church doesn't get you there. Being a good person doesn't get you there. Selling everything you have to give to the poor doesn't get you there. It's only through Christ. Apart from Christ, you are perishing. I can't say it any plainer. And so I pray that if there's anyone here today, anyone watching at home, that you will heed this warning, that you will understand the danger that awaits if you're apart from Christ. God's wrath is real. It's just as real as His love. Listen, we talk about God's love, and it is amazing. It's incomprehensible. To me, listen, I'll be transparent. It's hard to believe that God would love me so much because I'm nothing special. I make mistakes all the time. I sin. I sin against Him. But He loves me so much. He's never given up on me. He tells me He'd never leave me, never forsake me. As bad as I can mess up, He's always there. That's the same for all of us. But ultimately, we always point to this. How much does God love us? He gave His only Son that we should not perish, but we would have everlasting life. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Oh Lord, how I pray everyone hears my voice. Takes us to heart if you are apart from Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. We do not know what tomorrow holds. Listen. Look around, look at our world, look at the events in this world. None of us is promised tomorrow. The other day, again, tragedy. People got their children up, they got them dressed, they kissed them goodbye, sent them out the door, and what, 17 of them did not come home. I promise you, they were looking forward to these long lives. They had so much to live for, so much to look forward to. None of us knows what tomorrow holds. Today is the day of salvation. Don't delay. Don't put it off. If you're here today and you question your eternal future, if you have no certainty, we'll take care of that today. If you desire. And in just a few moments, we'll have a time of invitation. And we'll talk about it more. But remember the good news of the gospel we're talking about here. The good news we see in John 3:16 is that the love of God rescues us from the wrath of God. The love of God rescues us from the wrath of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So someone might ask, all I've heard about is this loving God. God loves us, loves people. So why, if we don't trust in Christ, why are we perishing? Why would He do that? Well, I think the simplest way they answer this is to again look to the Apostle Paul. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay, how good do you think you are? I don't care what you do. You fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And understand, we've all sinned, but we fall short of the glory of God. See, we want to measure ourselves against other people. I'm better than these people. I come to church, I do good works, I tithe, I do yada, yada, yada.
God doesn't measure you against anybody else.
What your measuring stick is?
It's Christ. It's God's holiness. It's God's righteousness. Let me tell you something. You fall short. We all fall short.
And then also, because we don't measure it, because we sin, because we fall short of God's glory, we see, can't be any plainer, Romans 6:23, what do we get? What are we entitled to? What do we deserve? The wages of our sin is death. That's what we deserve.
The wages of sin is death, and that, my friends, is perishing. We've all sinned. We all deserve punishment. Sin deserves perishing. Now,
again, we can look at these verses and we kind of see that cause and effect nature
I alluded to earlier. We think in terms of breaking law. You know, you go speeding, you pay a fine.
But I want you to understand something. This is, I want you to understand why our sin is so much more serious. And why we're worthy of a serious punishment. The reason is that God is utterly righteous and holy. All things are measured by Him. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We all depend on Him for everything.
Sometimes we probably need to chew on that one. We get pretty full of ourselves. You know, we work hard, we provide. Let me tell you something. We depend on God for everything we have. All that we have is because of Him. The very breath we draw. If I take one more breath, it's because of God. Everything is of Him. We depend on Him. And He alone is worthy of all our praise, all our worship. And because of that, we owe Him nothing less. We owe Him nothing less than our love, our worship, our honor, our respect, and our obedience. Because He has made us. He's Creator. We are creation. We are His. And He provides. He sustains us. So when we reject Him, disobey Him, neglect Him, when we put other things before God, I love these words, take from John Piper again. When we disobey, reject, neglect, when we put things before God, those are infinite insults because He is an infinite treasure. And an infinite insult or a life of infinite insults deserves infinite punishment. That makes sense. So, again, we want to focus, meditate on these amazing words that Jesus gives us. And how precious it should be knowing that God loves us so much to send His Son to rescue us from perishing. And that's a danger. I've alluded to this many times before in our politically correct society, God's wrath. Hell, so very offensive. You know, the old hellfire and damnation sermons in my childhood, they're hard to come by now. Hard to come by. You don't see preachers standing up and doing that as much anymore. And we as a church have failed, I think. We've become too seeker friendly. We want people to come and we just talk about God's love, His mercy, His grace. And listen, people come, yeah. Preacher, tell me about God's love. Tell me about His grace. Tell me about how long-suffering He is because we need it. I need Him to be patient with me. I'm not living as I should, so tell me about His grace and His mercy. Don't tell me about what awaits me if I don't straighten up. I don't hear that. Just tell me about love. Listen, we need more
hellfire and damnation. And that kind of leads me to this question. Do people need to hear a message about danger? Do they need to hear this threatening news? Do we need to preach on the danger of perishing? Let me tell you, if you're like me, the wrath of God drove me to the gospel when I was younger. Scared the fool out of me. Had my attention. Okay? I was in church when I was growing eyelids. And I grew up singing Jesus Loves Me. And hearing about God's great love for me. And I was like any kid, do you love Jesus? I love Jesus. You know, get out of Sunday school. Mom, Dad, what'd you learn about today? Jesus. Jesus loves me. Right? But as I started getting older and everything started sinking in and I started getting to an age where I understood and those old Southern Baptist preachers and those little big churches Mom and Dad drugged me to preaching that hellfire and damnation had my attention, scared me to death. Because why? Well, I loved Jesus. I was good with following Jesus. But I sure didn't want to go to hell. It needed to be real. Because if hell wasn't real, then heaven's not as real. Right? But you know what? Because I was scared, then I sought out God. And I sought out, I understood that I made mistakes. I understood that sin. I sought His forgiveness. And finding Christ relieved all that fear that I had. I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared of hell anymore. Because Christ took care of that. He died for me. He died in my place. As we conclude, let me ask you. Name John Newton sound familiar to anyone? Okay, there's some shaking your head. John Newton was born in 1725. He was a sea captain, had a ship. He was a notorious slave trader. Not a good person by many accounts. Certainly not a follower of Christ. But in his life, he experienced some very serious dangers. And because of some experiences he had, he got a little more serious about his spiritual well-being. He began to take health seriously. There was one occasion he almost shipwrecked. And in his autobiography, which is entitled Out of the Depths, he talks about how God dealt with him. And on one occasion, he was in Londonderry, Ireland, and he was hunting. Listen to these words he shares. He says, I climbed up a steep bank, pulling my shotgun after me in a perpendicular direction. It went off so near my face as to burn away the corner of my hat. God got his attention. And that's what Newton understood. He understood these experiences as God's way of speaking to him and getting his attention and teaching him to what? To fear. To fear so that he would turn to the only place that would console his fears. He turned to the only place that would give him peace. He turned to the only place that he could find rest in that was Christ. John Newton. If his name was familiar, it should be. John Newton went on to write what I consider to be the greatest hymn of all time. Amazing Grace. Now you know the rest of the story. But I want you to listen to these words that John Newton wrote. Listen carefully. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Isn't that good? So, in answer to that last question, yeah. Excuse me, yes. It is helpful to warn people about what is at stake in life. Yeah, we need to teach them about God's love. That God loved them, set his son for them. But they need to understand what was at stake. Why God had to send Jesus for them. Because God's judgment, his wrath, and hell are real. And not only are they real, they are certain and unavoidable. But the good news of his grace. For those in Christ, we're going to face judgment. But you know what? We will stand there righteous in God's eyes.
not in and of ourselves, but we will be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so we will be accepted. And we will not feel God's wrath. And we will enter into our eternal home with Jesus. And so, a very simple way to end today. One simple question for everyone here. And that is, are you in Christ or are you perishing? Let's pray.